Exciting times. So we're live once again. Unfortunately, this week we do not have a Bob.
Thank God.
And we decided to change it up. And instead of having a West Ham fan, we've got our second Arsenal fan on the podcast.
Absolute cheek of it.
we have Lee with us this weekend.
Good evening.
He is actually a West Ham fan.
Yeah, he's not. He's a fucking Arsenal fan. Come on.
I can assure you, I am a West Ham fan.
How many Arsenal tops do you own?
One.
That's one too many.
You didn't ask me how many West Ham shirts I own.
I don't need to know.
Does probably it count zero, that the though. Arsenal shirt was a gift? I think that the listeners need to know that it was a gift.
The fact that you accepted it as well is even more embarrassing.
You have a gift of an Arsenal shirt at the end of the season anyway.
Yeah, it's
true. Of it away.
Still be a nicer colour than your white Tottenham shirt.
Have you seen the new Arsenal one?
Yes, nice.
The red disgusting.
One. The new home one's nice.
They haven't changed it. It's just the same.
It's completely different. You're Wait, fucking
to,
bonkers.
To neutrals, it looks the same. It looks shit.
You are once again being an idiot. We're going to dive in with Chelsea versus Newcastle. Mitchell, you can lead the way.
Hello, mate. Yeah. Oh. I mean, is it a must-win, that game? Probably. I think it's still in our hands. But it was...
What, to get Champions League?
Champions League, yeah.
I mean, you're now relying on Arsenal to beat Newcastle, right?
No, it's top five now, isn't it? So we're still in it. We're still there.
Well, we've got Villa next, so...
Yeah.
I didn't realise just how tough some of the final games are for some of the teams.
Spicy ones, isn't there?
It really is. Like, proper spicy.
Well, it's Chelsea Forest is our last game, and that could be the decider for either one of those teams getting Champions League.
Come on, Forest.
Well, obviously, Forest are going to lose to West Ham this weekend, so they're going to want to bounce back against Chelsea.
So we beat United, which... Well, I ain't going to say it. The Newcastle game, it was a bit of a shaky start. He's playing Caicedo at right back again, because you know he doesn't like playing Reece James at right back. he won't do it. And he was, I love Caicedo, but he's not a right back. He was a fish out of water.
It's a bit like Arsenal when we play Thomas Partey there.
Yeah, and he was at fault for their goal. He wasn't tracking a man. It was an easy run for the Newcastle player. I can't remember who scored it.
Didn't Lavia give it away, though, if I remember right?
He got caught
in possession.
He didn't check before receiving the pass. So he was a bit slow on the turn, and then and he got tackled. But Caicedo, if you're at right back, you still should be tracking that man. And he's left him. But yeah, Lavia, he had a bit of a stinker in the first half, particularly. He's created a bit of a frustrating problem because Caicedo and Fernandez, the defensive mids, have worked. And Lavia coming back in his last two games, he has actually played really well. And so now what do you do? You can't keep moving Caicedo to right back. It doesn't work. We've seen that in the last two games. It doesn't work.
Would we call Enzo a defensive mid, though, in what he seems to be playing in sort of the last 6 months? He seems to be a lot further forward
well,
than
this
a defensive
is,
mid.
This
he
is
seems
where,
like a number eight, right?
Yeah, this is where the discussion comes in, is do you play the three of them, right? So you have Lavia and Caicedo as your defensive mids, and then Enzo can be the man that pushes forward a bit, but then... What happens to Cole Palmer? Exactly. Are you going to start playing him on one of the wings?
But to be fair, though, Mitchell,
he's a better right winger than Saka, apparently, as well.
Yeah.
Sorry, Lee.
Yeah.
No, it's fine. I was just going to say, I think, but surely having that second option is exactly what Chelsea need at the moment. Like, you look at the last, what, 6 to 8, well, no, probably 11 games, where Cole Palmer hasn't been firing as well as he had at the start of the season. Having that ability to maybe change to the three of Enzo, Caicedo and Lavia in there is something that you need to mix it up. I don't know what Maresca's like with actually changing positions and tactics, or if he just literally changes personnel in the positions. Does he usually play the same formation, Mitch, and just changes up who plays same, where?
Yeah, same formation, but again, it's these funny positionings. It's particularly the right back positions keep switching up, moving defenders to right back or defensive mids to right back, and it's not working. When you've got two right backs you can use in Gusto and James, and Gusto has had a bit of an injury, but he's back now, and obviously James has been back for a few weeks. Yeah, he's not changed the system in that way, and again, I don't know if it would work. I don't know if it would work with Palmer on the wing. I mean, maybe you could try it, but you've only got two games left now. It's probably not worth it. In case it all goes wrong, because then that's his neck on the chopping block. But I mean, Palmer's turned up a bit more in the last few games, and we did joke that maybe that was Jackson.
We'll find out in the next two games, won't
we? No, we won't. We won't.
Well, exactly. Jackson's gone again.
Fucking gone again. Did you see the challenge?
Yeah.
I did.
Oh. I think I know what you're going to say, Luke, right? Oh. So it's a definite red. No two ways about it. Yeah. It's a red card.
It's a striker's tackle.
Yeah, I don't think it was malicious. I don't think he's trying to fucking... I don't think he's trying to elbow him in the head. I think he's having a look.
He leads with his arm.
He leads with his arm.
I think it's because he looks.
Yeah. It's not helped him, yeah. But he wants to push that player away. He wants to nudge his shoulder and try and get an advantage to win that ball. He's not going, I'm going to fucking elbow you in the head. That's my point. He's not going into trying to hurt the player.
It doesn't look like a dangerous elbow. What I was going to say is Van Dijk's been doing that all season. All season.
Yeah, but they love Liverpool, don't they?
They fuck all about it, and he just keeps getting away with it. Because
he's done it every other season.
But this season, I've seen him more predominantly doing it. But he's such a knobhead.
Yeah. Speak your mind, Luke.
Well, yeah, because I just feel like he can get away with it. And sometimes we've had it before with some big player names, to get away with a lot of stuff on the pitch. And I've been listening to some of the referees and stuff recently, like retired referees, and they talk about the game and how to let things go and do things and try to give it to other players. And I just feel like it's the same sort of situation here, is like these referees are just not, I don't know, just not putting it up. And I get VARs there to help. But if the referee isn't watching it properly or knowing full well what that player's always going to be doing, just keep getting away with it.
I think the biggest problem you have with modern refereeing is that because you have to start refereeing early to get on the professional track, they don't have the playing experience that I think is needed for being a high quality ref. Like, I'm going to use Saka as an example from Arsenal. It really infuriates me, but this is where we are for the modern game. Obviously, he gets fouled a lot, but you watch him whenever he gets fouled. As he leans forward, he will always grab the ball to try and force the... And everyone knows that's... You know, if you've played football, you know you're deliberately doing that to force the referee to make a decision on the foul. You know, in my opinion, if you're grabbing the ball like that, it's an automatic yellow.
Well, if it's not a foul.
Yeah, I think it's one of those which is very hard to sort of police if it is a foul or not, because you don't want to start throwing out cards willy-nilly, but... I just hate that this.
It's just to give Arsenal players yellow cards.
Not just Arsenal, because everyone does it. It's just because Saka's the player that I always see do it, probably because he gets fouled a lot. I don't know, but it's just, I find it immensely frustrating. It's the same with players crowding the referees as well. I just think referees need to be a bit more savvy and start. I don't know. It's hard because you don't want them to go too far the other way.
Well, they had at the start of what, last season or the season before, where they were yellow carding players for crowding the referee straight away. It settled down, and then within 2 weeks it's all forgotten, and
and throw ons as well.
Back to day dot. So
can anyone explain this to me, because it really, really infuriates me, and I've been paying close attention to it now. Corners and the little whatever you want to call it, the hatched area. Why do players insist on putting it outside of that little corner
And that extra 1%, mate.
It's so infuriating seeing him like argue with the linesman about it and stuff like that. I was just like, put it on the line. And then they can't, and then they have this like massive argument about it, or when it doesn't clear the first man.
Yeah, it's the first man.
Oh, it's just time. Like, come on. It's just getting back to Chelsea, Mitch, anyway. Yeah. Trying to keep this on topic. This is my first time. I might as well hold the agenda. Do you think Palmer could potentially be played as a false nine, like a Firmino?
I don't know. I mean, I would have thought he would have wanted to try that when Jackson was out for ages. He might have no choice but to try that now because Nkunku's injured as well.
You got that George though, didn't you, whatever his name is?
Yeah, but even he, I think he's actually a winger, not a striker. And I don't think he's going to, I don't think he'll give him full games because he's, we got a young squad, Clive, right? He's very young.
Oh, I'll do my good impression. Oh, don't fucking start with that.
Yeah.
very good impression.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what he does do tomorrow against United.
What, Friday night game?
Yeah, two Friday night games. Tottenham play as well.
Who's on TV?
I know we are, but definitely.
Who cares?
Are they both?
I have no idea this weekend. I literally, about 5 minutes before this started, I had to check who West Ham have. So, you know.
The
league's boring now. It's done a test.
No, it's great, Clive. It's great. We've still got something to play for. I'm enjoying it.
No, I agree with Clive. The league's boring. How's
Tottenham getting on, though?
We're in Europa League, mate. We're in a final.
Oh, don't start with that shit.
Yeah, the league. We don't talk about that league.
Yeah, we fucking do.
So let's go back to Chelsea Newcastle for a second. We'll come to Tottenham.
Oh, I don't care about Tottenham.
In Tottenham. Yeah, so the sending off. I mean...
Change the game, though, because
it changed it in our favour, almost.
Second half, you did come to life a bit more, kind of towards the 70th minute, but Newcastle looked like they was going to score willy-nilly.
Yeah, but I think they started getting a bit nervous. And like you said, we came out strong in that second half. We were the better team in that second half. And I was like, I had a bit of belief there. I was like, here we go. Let's fucking snatch a point out of this and go back to the bridge and forget about it. Sort things out with Jackson after. And it looked like it was working. And he brought James on for the second half. And he played him in his right position and he was having a fucking great game. Yeah. But then he got, I think it was about 70th or 80th minute. He went for it, which I'm happy with. I think he took off Chalobah and Lavia and he brought on Sancho and Gusto and he fucking moved Gusto to right back and then pushed James into the defensive mid role again. It's very frustrating. I don't know why that keeps happening. James was playing really well at the right back position and he was getting forward and he was pinging some balls in, which is exactly what you fucking needed. I know, unfortunately, near the end, he did miss a chance. He should have got his fucking head on that better. But it was still an enjoyable watch because it got a bit feisty towards the end because both teams, they both knew that the 3 points here were massive.
Newcastle have got that right nastiness about them as well at the moment.
They have, yeah. and then fucking right at the end, Guimaraes with what I thought was a great shot, but then it was a deflection off of fucking Gusto, and that killed it, and that was it. Then I was like, right, well, there's absolutely no hope with what 5 minutes left. It was a bit of a downer because we did play so well in the second half and that, yeah. I hope, because we're still fifth, we're still there. I hope we bounce back from it and we get a good result against United. We need a good result now to bounce us into that last game against Forest because it's going to be a six-pointer. That's going to decide us.
I mean, United will be like Tottenham. You'll be playing a weak United team, so...
Watch them fucking turn up.
I don't know.
But do you know what the problem is? The problem is we won't fucking score. We'll have all the possession and we'll make loads of chances. We won't score. And then on the 89th minute, fucking Fernandes will get a goal.
Oh, I don't know. Man United, when we play, obviously, we'll come to West Ham United in a bit. But they're gettable. If they play like they did against us,
their last six results are draw, loss, loss, draw, loss, yeah. loss. So it's a draw.
Yeah. Well, that's what I'm thinking. Like, if we get a draw against United,
that's not a good result.
That's not a good result. No, that is our must win game. It's our last home game. Yeah. We should be fucking beating United, but I'm just hoping that, you know, the heads didn't sink after that Newcastle game, because there was some sparks in that second half. Something was working, but he needs to figure out this problem now with no striker in the last two games. But yeah, United is a must win. The Newcastle game, it's just disappointing at the end.
Anybody want to weigh in?
Fuck Chelsea.
But I think yeah. Champions League football now, though.
You do?
I do.
I think you'll beat United.
I think you'll beat United. I think Villa will probably draw against us.
This guy. Luke.
You've heard it here. A draw against us, and then
really,
he's still going to predict a win.
And then they've got United.
I'll probably still predict a win, yeah, Clive. But that's not the point.
They're playing 17th and 16th for their last two games. Shitters.
don't underestimate Tottenham against Villa.
You need to start underestimating Tottenham. We might have caught up fucking AI. Jesus Christ.
So I've got one note from Bob as well, and Lee's already delivered it. Fuck Chelsea.
Fuck Chelsea.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
It's what it's you don't actually support West Ham, you just fucking hate other teams and just insult them.
Oh God, it's fucking scary, isn't it? The only thing going for us against Villa is our goal difference.
Well done, you're a medal.
It might help.
Tottenham Palace, Luke.
Fuck my life. Probably the worst game of the season.
You've had about 36 of them.
mate, honestly, the worst game of the season. It was...
The 20th loss.
I know,
in the Premier League.
It's embarrassing as a club. Like, okay, we could go back, and when, you know, we had the excuse of the injuries for like 3 months. Fair play. You could look at the results, and let's say like five of those games are losses, yeah, because of the injuries. We should not be having another 15. Like, I'm all well to say like we had injuries and there were some problems, but 15 other games. Like, that's a joke, and 20 overall. That's so bad. So bad. Even if we are resting players and lost three games, yeah, it's still terrible. It's a terrible fucking season. Like, if it weren't for Ipswich, Southampton, and I can't remember the other team that's gone down.
Leicester.
It'd be fucking Tottenham, West Ham, and United down there. Imagine that. Imagine what a season.
What a season it would have been.
Oh, fucking, especially for everyone else. Poor Rand. I get it. Like, Kingsley and goal. Poro come off in the second half. Danzo Davies played. Got some minutes.
Who?
Davies. Danzo.
Who?
Was a defender they signed in the summer, in January, wasn't it?
Yeah. So he's just getting, obviously, minutes in. Spence played. Gray played instead of right back, played in centre mid, which was terrible. Bentancur got 45 minutes because, obviously, you picked up a booking first half, but I assume resting him for the other games anyway. Saar getting minutes in, but Saar should have been doing better. Odebert, obviously getting match fitness because he's been injured. Kuzeski picked a knock up. He had surgery now.
He's not missing the final now, isn't he?
So just typically Attell, and obviously, you know, that's the squad. You know, Crystal Palace put a semi-strong squad out.
They got the FA Cup final to think about.
Yeah, and they still played a strong team. You know, they still play a very strong team. But Spurs were just poor. If we look at the stats here, This is what makes it embarrassing here. They had 23 shots and 10 on target. Spurs had 8 shots, 1 on target. That's shocking. We only had one clear cut chance, obviously, because the thing. They had 8.
What does Spurs need to do in the summer, Luke, do you reckon, to get over this?
Get rid of the manager.
I believe that's probably on the horizon, and I think that's probably.
Can you even afford that?
Levy will put out a result. He'll do something. We'll do something. We'll get someone in. The squad. Do you know what we need? Let me look at the team. So look at the team now. Yeah, on the bench we have Ficario, Son, Bissouma, Richarlison, Romero, Solanke, Johnson, Van de Ven, Moore. Yeah, Moore's up and coming. So I don't see him being a starter at all. Yeah, what we need is probably another good and a fit centre back, because Van de Ven and fucking Romero can only last three games every 3 months or something.
Isn't Romero gone in the summer anyway?
I can't see him staying. Can you? You say he's a world class centre half, and
it just depends on his contract and it and whatnot. But I could imagine him probably doing something stupid, and then we have to get rid of him. He seems like a sort of player, to be fair.
Yeah, he'll force his way out if he needs to.
So he's probably gone. Probably two centre backs in, decent centre back. Davies needs to go now. He's always a good servant, don't get me wrong. He puts a shift in, and I can't fault him because he's helped us out a lot. But it comes a time where if we're looking at the bench and we want to rotate players and be consistent in the league, then we need to have a decent centre back that can keep up with the Premier League. Gray again, one for the future. I don't feel like he's good enough for midfield in the Premier League at the moment. Maybe send him out on loan to a Premier League team. Maybe someone that's coming up, if possible. But yeah, it's not like we haven't got decent players.
I think Son falling off massively, no one could have predicted, and that's really sort of hurt you.
Yeah, with his goals and assists and stuff. Yeah, he's not been great, especially when he was hitting like 20 goals. Between 18 to 23 goals a season, and with a bunch of assists, and he's dropped off, picked up, knocked, but he just doesn't seem his usual self. So I can probably see him just being like a sub player. So probably getting in the winger if Tell doesn't stay at Tottenham. I don't think Tell's good enough from what I've seen of him.
Don't you have a mandatory buy clause though?
No, I don't believe they did have a buy.
Or was it not mandatory, but the amount was fixed?
Yeah, the amount's fixed. Okay. I don't think there's a mandatory. The
what was it, 60 mil?
50, I think.
Not a lot of money.
Not worth it.
How many goals has he assists he got?
Not
zero. He's got at least one goal, ain't he?
I think he's got one or two goals and maybe like two assists or something like that. It's not good enough. When Odegaard's come back from injury, he's got like four goals or something, and like, I don't know what the assists are, but he's doing a lot better than what Tell is.
Is Odegaard the Nazi youth looking guy?
No, the Nazi youth.
The blonde Aryan race guy.
No, that's Bergwijn.
He looks.
Odegaard's the one you got from Burnley, isn't he?
Yeah, Odegaard, Burnley. Oh, Bergwijn's going to be quality for us.
Yeah, Bergwijn's a great player.
He's already looked really, really good. So he'd be another one. For us to strengthen it up, it's just we need players. I want players that put in a fucking shift. I want players putting a shift. They've shown it against in the Europa League, where they're all up for it. They're all tracking back. They're all chasing. They're putting in, getting like cheeky fouls and stuff. That's what I want of Tottenham. I want us to fucking just play the football, not this everyone go up top and we just have Van de Ven cover everyone.
Allardyce is available.
I'll take him. I'll take Sam Allardyce. Take no shit from the players.
There's some good managers that are going to be available. Like Carlo Ancelotti is going to be available. If you get into the Champions, Everton got him.
Yeah, exactly. That's forget about that.
Like, if you spend enough money, you'll be able to get him. And if you're in the Champions League next season, like, don't get me wrong.
Strange.
You've got to look at that Spurs squad and go, are the youth players that you're hoping for the next couple of years are going to come good? Actually going to come good and going to be good enough. If I was a Spurs fan, I'd have massive doubts on that. And how much money you've got to spend.
Yeah, I think the quality around it is what will help those youth players.
What quality have they got around it though?
Well, this I agree with you. Looking at now, like Son's obviously dropped off. You know, Bissouma on his day is phenomenal, but he's just lazy. But I know that he's been dropped, and I think they've had a chat internally and whatnot, and hopefully he's back to what he was before.
Just going to do some more laughing gas.
Well, maybe. Obviously, Spence's quality. Porro, the jury's out on him, mate. He's great at getting forward. Can't defend for shit, though.
And Dougie was good before his injury, or whatever you say his name.
Yeah, your doggy, yeah. He's been okay. He's picking up a bit of form. But, yeah, he still scares me a little bit because he's still young and he's defending. Can be a bit, again, sketchy because he...
Could you see either of those, Spence or Ndougi, going into centre-halves? Because they've got the athletic build for it, didn't they? They're big, Ndougi strong lads.
Spence played there and he looked really good when he covered. So yes, but I could see Spencer that, and it'd be and him and Van de Ven. I mean, no one's getting in that middle in terms of like getting like pace wise. Those two are rapid. Yeah, I can't see Udogie. I think he's too. He's not a proper defender. I see these players like these wing back players. I just feel like, yeah, they've not got the Ashley Cole in them. You know, they're all great at getting forward, but Ashley Cole was great at doing both. These wing backs now are just like, well, we can get forward, but you know, even Trent. You know, everyone raves how good Trent is, but let's be honest, he's not really a great defender.
Not that Miles Lewis Skelly, eh?
I don't know, any red cards he had this season?
I mean, that comes with part and parcel of learning.
Well, Arsenal are the highest red carded team in English Premiership, I think.
They are.
By a substantial amount as well.
Not surprising.
Kicking a ball away, aren't they?
I think it's only 111, 112, and the next team is like 90-odd.
But no, poor. Poor all round, and we did deserve to. Well, we were lucky not to concede 10 goals. In fairness, in that game, goalkeeper did.
Well, you might even slip into the minus figures in your goal difference. You've only got plus four now. That would be good. I'd like.
That's how you know you're a good team.
I don't know. Get rid of the manager first, and then we'll see where we're at.
So you are now Ange out.
I think we need to.
It's taken 36 games.
There we go.
It's not just. I think we need to now. I think giving him the benefit of doubt's fine, and getting him to build a squad. Fine, but like he's not managed that team. Like he managed it well with the injuries because he had no choice. Yeah.
I disagree.
Yeah, we're talking about the Europa League. Like, we'll refer to Tottenham doing well. We're talking Europa League, all right? Not Premier League. But he had no choice. You could do what you've got.
But you can still change your tactics, which he only did in one game.
Yeah, and you got
a result.
No, I get that. Yeah, the tactics thing because he's a stubborn motherfucker. Yeah, and then obviously it's cost us with his whole attacking mentality and these new players coming in didn't obviously sit well with it straight away like the experienced players did. But yeah, I think he needs to go now. I think even if he wins the Europa League, I think he just needs to go. We need to get someone else in that's going to be a bit more tactical. An attacking team works well for Celtic and when a fit Tottenham team. But like who, as you mentioned before in a season club, like, you know, you've got to learn to change your tactics. In the game, maybe at half time.
There's only certain teams that don't need to change their tactics, and even if it's before a game, changing your tactics and going, well, they're actually better at football than us. Let's not try and play football. And there's only probably what a handful of teams in the Premier League that you'd probably say that about over the last 10 years. And this Tottenham squad is not anywhere near that. Even with a fully fit squad at the start of the season, if you was up against a team like, I mean, probably even, I'd say Villa, because your tactics had success against City. I just think Villa would, like a manager like Emery would look at those tactics and figure them out.
But we've been a better team though when we've played Villa. I know obviously you're using Villa as an example, but we have been a better team against Villa on both games.
And what results did you get?
Mate, you spent the whole podcast in the past going on about how fucking better you were than Villa. Just drop it. You lost. Come on, mate.
We did lose. At the end of the day, is the result. It's those 3 points at the end of the day. No matter how good you play and how good the tactics are, if you don't put it in the back of the fucking net, you're going to lose. And that's top. It's not like we haven't scored this season. We're banging in goals. We've just been poor defensively. Everyone's not putting... It feels like no one's playing for the badge. They're just playing for a wage. That's what it feels like. I feel like we're getting past, I don't know if it's other clubs or whatnot, but definitely at Tottenham, it just feels like they're paying for the money, not for the badge. And that's what's pissing me off.
Is that because Ange has lost the dressing room, you reckon? And they just don't want that?
Apparently not, according to the players. But then again, we've not got an Amazon show to tell you the difference. You know, do you know what I mean? I don't know.
I mean, the players aren't going to come around and say, yeah, the manager's an idiot, are they?
Well, that's it. I mean, Madison's coming out and saying the players are all backing him. You know, and the same with Van de Ven. It's just like they're all saying it, but like what they say and what they mean, you know, or what they say on TV versus what they say behind closed doors are two different things. But no, poor. But it's Europa League. That's all we care about.
I hope you lose. I'm sorry.
I mean, statistically,
I can't deal with you winning the trophy.
Really?
I got asked who would I want to win it, because obviously Arsenal have, their bigger rivalry has been United over our growing up, because we were challenging them for titles way back when. And I got asked who I would prefer to win it. And I'd prefer United. And the reason behind it is because it would mean less to United than it would to Tottenham.
Exactly that.
Exactly. Not like spiteful or anything.
No. It just means less to them. Like, United have won a Champions League. this is not a good trophy for United to win.
Yeah, but do you really want United to win it again?
Yes.
You know, like win another trophy.
As opposed to Spurs, yeah.
Okay. Come on.
I was just going to say, I'm just surprised it's United and Spurs, because, like, not being hyperbole, but they have been really bad. Like, both teams have been poor this season for the quality of, like, the names of players and stuff like that. Neither of them deserve a title at a final.
If you're any other country in the world right now looking at Champions League spots and you go, the English clubs have got a team that have finished 16th or 17th in their league and they've got a Champions League spot, you're throwing up in your own mouth.
I mean, someone's got it.
Absolutely ridiculous.
I think it shows, I think this, how this league season's going to end and what the table looks like, I think will show and demonstrate just how much the money the Premier League clubs have
the quality of,
exactly.
The gap that's grown, and it's shown by the teams that get promoted as well, isn't it? The three teams that come up this season have just been nowhere near, unless they're playing Tottenham, have been nowhere near good enough to stay in the league.
He's not
going to buy that one.
No, I'm not buying. We're in another final. You know, I just don't want to see us.
I can't see you winning, Luke. I'm sorry. I know. And even if I don't want you to win, I don't think your players have got the mentality for it, and I don't think they've got the ability to pull it out of the bag.
The other thing is, even the bad United teams over the last 3 years have won trophies every year. Like, as much as I don't like saying it, they are consistent winners.
They know how to win, don't they? They know, you know, on the bigger stage, and Tottenham just, the fucking Liverpool game, the Champions League final, where they're sending off was ridiculous, and then they changed the
game. It was harsh.
It was very
harsh.
Was
it a sending off, or was it just a penalty?
It was a penalty. It was the handball in the box.
It was a penalty, which was harsh.
It was a handball regardless. It was just, don't want to see it 5 minutes into a Champions League final.
No, you don't.
Well.
Well, you guys would have done. But
when it's Tottenham, you don't mind.
I guess from Arsenal's perspective, they didn't want Tottenham winning anything at that point.
Absolutely not, no. Absolutely not.
Look, see what happens. We'll see what happens. And, I'm hoping we get over that hurdle. But
mate, you've been open all season.
Well, all I don't want to do is turn up and we play dog shit like we did against Crystal Palace. And Man United just turn us over. And that's just embarrassing. Like, if it's a good game and we lose, fair enough. You know, Tottenham put in a shift. Two terrible teams in this season, played it out. And
is this you saying a good loss again?
Yeah, no. He's leading up to it.
I'd rather have a good loss than
celebrating a good loss.
Going back to the old football tropes. As long as you try hard and do your best, that's the most important
thing. That's what your coaches say, didn't they, when you're at school?
Yeah,
they say try your best. No, we've got to win it, mate. We've got to win it.
It's the only way your season's saved. And it's still not a good season if you win that.
It's a good season, Clive.
It's not a good season.
I think winning the European trophy is a good season.
It's a good season. But don't forget, you're forgetting, Clive. Okay, let's start looking at the season. Yeah, Spurs, Ange Postecoglou was, Levy was like, Ange, look, mate, you need to get as close to top four as possible, because the top four weren't realistic, let's be honest. Yeah, well, we finished fifth the season before, so there's a possibility there still.
I don't think it's...
So let's say it was top four then. Let's say top four was the thing for Champions League football. Well, this season, we finished in the bottom of the league. If we do win the Europa League, well, guess what we get? Champions League football. So, we've won a cup as well at the same time. Now, you can't say to me...
You've lost 20 games in the Premier League.
I 100% agree with you, Clive. That's terrible. That's terrible. But you've ticked the box. Do you know what I mean? You've ticked the box.
So would you be happy with that every season?
No. Obviously not.
It's not a good season.
No, that's not what I'm getting at yet. Obviously not everything, because that shouldn't be like that. But at the end of the day, the facts are the facts. Is tick the box for Champions League, and if he wins the Europa League.
So you keep him in a job then?
No.
He's ticked your box?
No, because as you just said, you don't want to be finishing every single season, so we need a manager that stops us from finishing there every
single season.
It's not a good season then? No,
it's...
I'm not saying that the season's not great. I'm not saying... I'm just saying it's still a good...
He's just saying, Clive, facts are facts, all right?
Yeah, facts.
And at the end of the day, whoever wins, wins.
It's not a good season, but it's a good season.
Well, it's a more successful season than Arsenal, right?
Yeah, correct. Well, it's successful in the fact that you've won, you may win a trophy.
Also, I don't want Spurs to win because at the start of the season when Ange came out going, I've always won a second trophy in my second season. Oh, fuck off.
No, I get that. But with your definition of a good season then, Clive? Yeah, but okay, so we finished fifth last season. Is that a good season?
It's better than this season.
Depends on the context.
This is what I'm getting at. It depends on the context because we could finish fifth this season. Well, not fifth. Let's say we finished sixth this season. Or we finished fifth and there wasn't a Champions League spot. We didn't get Champions League football, but people will be like, well, I still progressed. It still finished fifth last season. It's a good season. Yeah, no trophy, no nothing. And it'll be another year where you guys say, oh, well, Tottenham still didn't win fuck all. It's been another fucking 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, whatever it is. But then this season, we finished in the bottom of the league. Yes, terrible league season. But then in the Europa League, we win, if we win, we then get Champions League for next season. I'm just saying that...
I don't think you can use that, though. I think because it might have not been... Again, sorry to cut you off there, but yeah, I just wanted to say, I think for me... And I know what you're trying to say, but at the end of the day, your good cup run could have been the FA Cup. And if you would have won the FA Cup, you wouldn't have got Champions League. So is that a good season?
While finishing...
17th.
While finishing... No, because like I said, if his goals were...
So for you, a good season is getting Champions League.
Qualifying for Champions League.
Yeah, well, qualifying for
Champions League. That's the idea, isn't it?
So regardless of a trophy or anything, for you, a good season for Tottenham is qualifying for the Champions League.
For what we're at the moment, yes. Because we're not competing
against
Liverpool.
I find that crazy. Like, you haven't won a trophy in what? Almost 20 years? It's like, surely the trophy would be the... like, because this is the thing. I think winning the trophy, you've had a crap season, but you've done really well in the cup and you've won the trophy. I think you've got to focus on the trophy, surely. Regardless on Champions League or not.
I obviously want to win trophies, yeah. But this is the thing with Tottenham. And everyone else's expectations as well is like, well, Tottenham could finish seventh, and let's say we win the FA Cup. Then it'll be like, well, you didn't qualify for Champions League and you won an FA Cup that everyone else has won, you know, or the big six have won. And everyone will just put it aside. It'd be like, put it aside. No one cares. We win the Carling Cup.
Leicester.
Carling Cup. People will be like, well, really, it's a Carling Cup. Let's be honest. It's you can have that one. You know, it's never going to be good enough. When it comes to Tottenham, it's never good enough. You know?
Why do you care what other people think? Surely it's about you and your relation to the club and
I agree, but the ambition of Tottenham, and we can say the stadium and the players and the money we've spent on players and the fact what Levy's goals are, is it is that Champions League spot so we can compete with the best players in Europe. Obviously, the Premier League is where we want to win, but we're not at that level. Everyone knows we're not there. Even Spurs know we're not there.
And I think that's your problem. As Spurs, as a club, and as a sort of mentality, is you're comparing yourself to other clubs. You know, you look at the serial winners, I bet you none of them compare themselves to any other clubs. And I think because of that, you're never going to have the right that winning mentality just to go out and take it because it's yours.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. I do agree with you.
I don't know how you change that. That's the thing you need to figure. Like the club needs to figure out, where is it an ownership change? Is it? I don't know. But that's what needs to change for Tottenham.
We've been there. We've been competing in top four for like six seasons, and going for the league. We was in a really good position with Poch. It's to go in for the league. But then, again, the typical Spursy bottled it, and now everyone obviously leads on that. When we was like a few points behind Leicester, yet they did go on a crazy run of winning like how many games it was in a row. I don't know, maybe it did deflate us a little bit. And then players left, and it's like, well, okay, Harry Kane's gone, Spurs are going to struggle, and we did well last season. And then, obviously, it's this season where Son's not performing, and then injuries. And then obviously the two tactics that, well, they're the same sort of tactics, but and just put these sort of like, I can't explain it. I want to win a Premier League, obviously, in my lifetime. But at the moment, with the way the club are and the players that we've got, I don't think we're good enough compared to Liverpool. I know you say comparing, but you have to use that as a pedestal of sorts, because what you need, you're competing against them.
To go down for a season. Although, wasn't it, didn't Leicester just nearly go down? Then they won it.
Yeah, so maybe that's exactly what happened.
Maybe for Tottenham, the writing's in the stars.
Well, maybe. Maybe. I'll take it, Clive. I'll
this
take
time
it.
Next season, you just
I'll
need,
take it.
You need Ranieri to come in. Let's get Ranieri in.
No, but he's doing well at Roma or wherever he's at. They're flying. He won't leave. They've actually got Champions League football next season.
Well, we could get it.
Fingers crossed, not. Right. Crossed.
We do.
Shall we? Anyone else wanted to say anything about Spurs?
Fuck Spurs.
Fuck Spurs.
I've got a message from Bob. He said he's looking forward to his BFC, Luke.
Oh, he's going to say fuck Spurs.
I was so disappointed then.
Yeah, I might as well get that on order now, to be fair.
West Ham, Manchester United. You've got centre stage.
What a result. What can I say? Unfortunately, it wasn't on TV. I think it was Brighton, Newcastle, or whatever the game was on TV. I can't remember. Shocking.
Newcastle played Chelsea.
That's it. That was even worse. Shit game. But it was, yeah, from the highlights and what the sort of the extended highlights I've seen, we started quite brightly. Obviously, got a goal. The goals are just United are just shocking at defending. I don't know what's going on there, but obviously I think first half we relatively controlled the game, and then it wasn't until sort of the second goal went in that United woke up, and it was only then that I felt that they could potentially get a goal, but thankfully it never came. It's a bit of a shame, actually, because I was just reading today, as much as I think he's a bit of a donkey, it looks like the club have said that Souček can leave in the summer.
Apparently, Everton. Apparently,
really? That's so obvious. Shocked I didn't see it. Which I think the club is, there's a lot going on with the club. Yeah, obviously, with Sullivan passing away, I think Gold's potentially looking at selling his stake. So I think we could.
Is it equation on the board or what?
Yeah, he's apparently trying to get some US investors to buy out 20% of Gold stake, I think it was. So, it's going to be an interesting couple of years for West Ham. I think this season's been a funny old one. I think we'll just write it off as being just rubbish. I think. Lopetegui coming in Lopetegui, you know.
Lopetegui.
Yeah. Obviously we backed him, and I think it was almost nearly 200 million we spent. And
I mean, that was a largely the rice money though, right?
It was, but we've done a Spurs and the Bow money. I don't think we've really invested it.
Some of it I'm pleased to play.
I think Fulkrug is a great player as well. I don't think we've exactly played to him, and he's been injured a lot. I think he still can do some work for us, and he looks
he's
like
old,
he cares.
He? He's not young.
Well, he's 31. That's young, mate.
not in Premier League terms.
No, I know. But he's still got a good, I don't know. It depends how he looks. But for some reason, West Ham just struggle with strikers. I can't see Antonio coming back, but I think the biggest, the thing with West Ham that upsets me, but I find most disappointing at the moment, is we've got no real youth like strikers or players coming through. Obviously, we've got some decent young players around the squad that have been getting involved, but there's no sort of, like, we've always been known for having at least, you know, somewhat like world-class players coming through our academy over sort of the last like 15, 10, 20 years or so. And it's just disappointing. I don't know what's gone on, but I think the club just needs to have a massive overhaul. an investment.
That's what, yeah, it's pretty much what Bob said. He'd keep three players and the rest of them would be gone.
But it's not just the club, the players. It's also the infrastructure around the club. Like, we're still playing in bloody the porter cabins over Chadwell Heath, you know, the training facility. And you look at clubs like Leicester, Liverpool have just done their training. They're unbelievable. It's like different gravy. And I think it's, we need that sort of
level. Yeah, as a youth player, why would you go to West Ham at the moment?
Exactly. I just don't think we've got the infrastructure around us to be competing with where the board want us to be competing. You know, like top 10, trying to push for Europe each season. I just think we need to invest more. But yeah, going back to the match, obviously going to Old Trafford and, well, I'm going to say smashing United is always... well, we've become United's bogey team, I feel, in recent seasons.
You beat them
at
home this year as well, didn't you? And they battered you the first half as well.
Yeah, I think for some reason we seem to be doing all right against United in the last couple of seasons. And... yeah, it's nice to get the win so we can go above them and Tottenham. I'm interested to see what Potter does with the squad and the team, and whether he gets proper backing.
Apparently, well, from what Bob said, he's not going to get backing this summer. That's for sure. Like, you need to get rid of pack.
I think he's done. I don't know if you saw, he got booked and he just broke down into tears. Because he was really? Subbed off. Yeah, and I think he knew that was his last game of potentially professional football.
Yeah, that betting scandal is...
Yeah, which is it's so annoying we didn't sell him to City for like 80 million. And the thing is, if you think from a financial point of view, that is a massive...
A loss, isn't it?
Like, yeah, without getting into the boring sort of finance of club finances, it is a massive hit financially. Obviously, yes, we get the wages off the books, but if you actually think as the player of an asset and the value of him, it's huge, because he was a well-valued asset as well. And with the new sort of Premier League spending rules, it may... affect us. I don't know if there's some kind of insurance that the club can get, but anyway, if there is, those sorts of things will take years to sort of settle. So again, I don't know.
So the only players that you're likely to make any money off to then reinvest would be Bowen and Kudos. But Kudos has kind of completely gone off the boil. So,
well, I think he's down tools. I think from what if you read sort of the in the nose and whatever, like they believe that Kudos is going to Saudi Arabia, Al Ahly, wherever Ronaldo is, I think it is, or one of the other ones. But I think we'll probably get about 60 million for Kudos. I don't think we'll get anything more than that, which I think is, again, we could have got so much more. You know, if hindsight's 20/20 or 21/21 if you're Mitchell Brown. you know, I think we should have potentially sold him in the summer. You know, I know you boys were sniffing around for him. He was like heavily linked with Arsenal.
He's been to a couple of games.
Oh, come on. Everyone's linked with fucking Arsenal.
That is true. You know, Wenger almost signed everyone.
Yeah, exactly.
But I don't know. I know West Ham always have this stereotype of not having a good outlook on life in general, but I don't see how we're going to bounce back from where we are at the moment in the short term. I think
could you be in trouble next season?
Yeah, I think we could be in trouble next season. I know that I don't mean to sound all doomsayery, but I genuinely think we could be in trouble.
Like you're saying there, you've got. The older players are leaving on a free. Like Fabianski's gone, isn't he?
So the club have essentially released Fabianski, what's his face, Kufau, Cresswell, and there was one more. I can't think of who it is. I think Rodriguez, they're going to let go as well.
It's a half his starting lineup at the moment, isn't it?
I know. I hope we sign Carlos Soler on the permanent from PSG, because I absolutely love him. He's not like a 10 out of 10, the world-class player, but I just think he's a nice, tidy player and he always gives like 100%. And he's just, yeah, I've got a lot of time for him. He's been one of the bright spots of the team for me so far. But Ings. That was a player. It wasn't. It was Rodriguez. It was Ings. But again, I think the club want to sell Aguerd, the centre back who's out on loan at the moment. We've still got Kurt Zouma in the team. He's out on loan.
Is he still on the books?
Yeah, Maxwell Cornet still on the books, still within the team. He never sort of so. We're going to be very active in the summer, but I think it's going to be players departing, and I just don't know if we'll get the quality. I can see it being one of those summers where we sign some potential, like diamonds in the rough from maybe the Championship or sort of some of the more, like the Portuguese league, you know, stuff like that. But we'll see. I think we'll be in trouble.
Potter did well at Brighton, but that was largely with what was it, Ainsley? What was his name? Sporting director.
That's what I'm talking about. Brighton have one of the best footballing setups and infrastructure in the Premier League, and they've got a great network. Just the club is like they're all pulling in the one direction. West Ham, I just don't think have that. You know, we've had obviously the issues that we had with that Stillgerman or whatever his name is. He obviously left under a cloud. We just seem to have issues at the sort of executive level.
You think Potter's the man for the job then?
I like Potter. I rate Potter. I want to give him a chance. I don't think he'll get a chance. I can see him going, being gone by October if we don't get the start that people expect of us, which I think would be a waste. Because what will happen after that is we'll go to a route one boring football style manager, and it will either work for like 2 months and everyone will be saying yeah, and then we'll just fall off a cliff and it will just be back to square one again and we restart.
Big
the
Ange
cycle.
Will be available, no doubt.
No, he's not a defensive boring route one player. He's far too much flair for West Ham.
Get your phone West Ham way.
Well, yeah, that is he would. the style of football Tottenham play is more suited for West Ham.
It is, yeah, suicide football, yeah.
Try and score a load, but concede a ton as well.
Was there? No, I didn't see the highlights. I didn't watch that particular game. Was there any real talking points from it,
no.
Or was it just
Man United were very poor? Yeah, you know, it's they have that Ahmad. Had one good chance, which Areola saved. He was the only thing that went, who looked decent. He had an early shot. And then the moment Suchek scored, it killed the United team. Honestly, this is the thing about the Europa League final. I feel with this United team and the Spurs team, whoever scores first, I think will win the game because they just don't have the mentality to get back. Funny we say that he'd fallen off the boil. I think Kudos was West Ham's best player. From what I could see, obviously, without seeing the full game, Kudos looked like the best player.
Anybody else on it? Anyone else want to sling some mud at?
No one else has watched it.
I mean, it's West Ham, you know. I mean, I'll have to throw shade in them, but they're above us now, so I don't really want to say anything. I can't even say they're shit because they're above us.
Say that again, Luke.
I don't want to repeat that. It's recorded.
Okay. Mitchell, anything?
Oh, fuck West Ham.
Oh, fuck's sake.
And that's Lee's season over. Well, thank you very much for that, Lee. I've got nothing to add for West Ham. So I didn't actually watch the game. I was going to ask about Potter, but Mitchell beat me to the punch, so...
Yeah, I being asked about this yesterday, I had very little time to actually watch the game. So I managed to do that this morning. But yeah, I'm done with the season.
Arsenal Liverpool. So Lee, can you take us through the Arsenal Liverpool game as you were an Arsenal fan?
Do you know what the annoying thing is? Is I actually watched it. Well, I
of course
I
you did.
Watched it out of the corner of my eye.
No, shocking. It wasn't out the shocking. Corner of your eye.
I think the
you sent the family out and you said, "Give me the room."
That's not a million miles away from the truth. Game of two halves, wasn't it, Clive?
Yeah, yeah.
I actually predicted the two. I actually put a bet on for Tuchel, which was quite nice for me. So I had a good Sunday. But
family art, you got to watch your beloved Arsenal and made some money. But yeah, exactly. I mean, we had a chance to go 1-0 up, Saka. Should have really finished it. And then two very sloppy goals within 80 seconds of each other. Like the quick throw by Liverpool's decent enough, but we completely fell asleep for it. Saliba wanted to have more of a go at, I think, maybe Ben White or one of the other players than defending the middle of the box. And then the second goal, Mo Salah with a fantastic pass. Not really. Saliba maybe a bit slow on his toes to cover Diaz, but I think you just got to take your hat off to probably the best player of the season, playing a fantastic ball through. Then, as you say, second half we come out. Martinelli likes a goal against Liverpool. A rare header for him as well, which was nice to see. But at the same time, for me, you can tell that Liverpool were kind of down tools themselves. So some of their play was so sloppy and they didn't press at all like you'd expect them to if the game actually meant something to them. They gave us a lot of space. Martin Odegaard picked some lovely pockets up, and the second goal comes from a rare Martin Odegaard shot from outside the box that was actually on target rather than him dummying a shot four times. No, he doesn't even shoot. He kind of dummies, and then hits the first player.
I hate Odegaard for doing that. It's the most...
It's frustrating to watch.
He's such a good player, but it's every game he just doesn't take... If he could learn to shoot first time...
Yeah, he'd add loads of goals to his repertoire. But Marino with two... Like, there's no arguing. Both yellow card challenges. He could have got two yellow cards for the actual second one that he got, to be fair.
I didn't actually see the second challenge. I was out of the room. What was it? What was
so
it
for? He picks up the ball on the edge of our box, has a heavy touch, and then he goes into Darwin Núñez and doesn't win the ball, but the ball then goes back to Solesbar, whatever his name is.
Soberslai.
He has a shot. And after he's shot, he takes him out as well.
So regardless, he was probably getting booked.
Yeah, he was off the pitch. There's
maybe
no
he had a bet on as well.
On.
Luke throwing accusations out there.
But now he's going to be missing for the Newcastle game, and it's not like we've got an abundance of strikers available to us. So that could hurt us.
Is top four in doubt, Clive?
No, we've got two games left, and we've got Southampton last game of the season. So
they're a bogey team.
Newcastle certainly are. I think we'll draw with Newcastle, and we'll beat Southampton. So I can see us dropping to third, but I can't. You know, Champions League's done and dusted.
City draw was the shock, wasn't it?
Yeah, City draw.
I can't believe it.
That breath of fresh air. Hopefully Aaron Ramsdale chucks a few goals in the back of his own net when we play them.
I can see you losing both games. I know I'm not just saying
generally,
that.
I don't see it. I think we've got enough in the locker to beat Southampton.
I don't think you can the Newcastle one would be...
I didn't say 50, beat 50, Newcastle. 50. Yeah.
No, I'm just saying, I think the Newcastle 50-50 in it on that.
I think Newcastle are on a high at the moment. And,
I can't see you. I can't see you beating Newcastle.
No,
not with the injuries and players you don't have. Fully fit, I think it's completely. You know, obviously.
Yeah, I mean, as we said, like if we had a fully fit team and even Kai Havertz up front, we have a better chance of winning a game. But the season's fizzled. It was nice to see us come back in the second half and actually. But that being said, we made a couple of chances in the first half. We wasn't awful in the first half, but Liverpool had nothing to play for in the second half. And other than them booing Trent Alexander-Arnold, it wasn't really much to watch.
I think that's so wrong. I'm sorry. It just shows that what the fuck does loyalty get you? He's won everything for him.
Been there since his kid. 20 years. Won everything.
And he's leaving on the free. Yeah. I just, I, it's,
Well, they might even get 1 million for him because Real Madrid
want him to play in the World Cup, don't they?
Yeah, the World Cup, yeah. So.
I just hate the modern sort of fans, you know what I mean? It's just like so fickle.
Fickle football fans. But yeah, that's really it for Arsenal. I don't really need to go too much more than that. Season's done and dusted.
Successful season?
No, not successful. We wanted to challenge for the Premier League. We've had a good Champions League.
You have challenged.
We've not challenged for the Premier League. Like, let's be brutally honest. No one's challenged for the Premier League. Was good in the Champions League. Again, if I want to steal a Luke excuse, if it wasn't for injuries, we may have gone that step further in Champions League. But hey ho, we've got to sign a few more players in the summer.
Do you think Arteta's comments after the PSG game was a dig at Edu, where he sort of came out saying that, you know, obviously the whole club knew that you were weak in certain areas. You know, the sports scientists could tell that the team was running low when it comes to like energy levels and sort of like fitness and stuff like that, and the club still didn't sign anyone.
I think I called it out a little bit earlier in the season when we played Wolves and Kai Havertz basically collapsed after the final whistle. Then we went for our fair weather training in Dubai or wherever it was, and funnily enough, he ruptures his hamstring. There's lots of signs there, and that's where Arteta should have maybe rotated a few more players, just not leaving a weak squad in certain games, but just rotating one or two players here and there. And if you watch the All or Nothing, when Edu is kind of quite prominent in it, he wanted two or three options in every single position. And we've not got that yet. Like, we're nowhere near that. And I said the other, on the last podcast, as much as even Kiro has come in and done a job, we are defensively a lot more frail with him in that team than Gabriel. Like Saliba, the quality in Saliba just drops as well. It might be a concentration thing where Gabriel is a real leader and makes sure Saliba doesn't drop his head or whatnot. We've got abundance of fullbacks and quality replacement fullbacks up until this season. Like the summer will probably change that again. A few will probably go. But yeah, we are still lacking in the attacking areas massively. I was quite happy to see the signing of Raheem Sterling like as a free, but that's really not worked at all. So I think Arteta needs a bit more quality that he can trust.
Chelsea's broke Sterling.
Yeah. I think Arsenal are going to struggle next season. I think if you play the same way you did this season, it's going to be a struggle. Like, you know, you the corners, like everyone found you out now, and that just, I know Gabriel got injured, so
we're missing the biggest attacker.
At the end of the day, like, you still got other players for that tactic, and you were still doing that. You know, even the PSG game. You know, the corners again, and then obviously he tried the long throws as well, that whole long walk. But the keeper just ended up. He was like, yeah, fucking keep doing it.
I mean, don't get us wrong, in the first half it caused PSG problems.
Oh yeah, it did.
But in the second half they
But that's where the tactical comes in. It's like, well, the manager was like, okay, is that what I'm going to continue doing? Well, Arteta was like, well, it didn't work the fifth time. Why didn't we just change it? But you kept doing it, and it slowed the game down even more, which actually hurt you in the end. So I think next season, if you continue, I don't think you'll do the long throws unless Partey wants to do them, but I don't think that will come through.
Not even be there.
Well,
I think the problem is, though, as I know what you're saying, and part of me sort of does agree, but I think one of Arsenal's biggest problems this season is, obviously, they're known from scoring for set pieces, but I think they're only known from that because their productivity from open play has been so poor. I think if they genuinely have sort of a striker and they're all starting to bang in goals and being a bit more prolific and have, like, you know, two or three players scoring over 20 goals, but still doing the, I still think they'll do the corner routines, but I just don't think because they're obviously converting through open play, I just don't think it'd be talked about or planned for, because...
That's exactly it. There was a point last season, after Christmas, where we went on a roll of games of smashing teams 4-5, 6-0. And that was open play goals, set piece goals. It was a mixture of both. And that was Arteta playing with a lot of the players we've still got in the squad, but without injuries. And like as much as people want to dismiss it, Martin Odegaard's injury at the start of the season was huge. Saka's injury is huge. Martinelli's been in and out. Obviously, no Jesus for long periods. No Kai Havertz. But like, yeah, hindsight.
We said it at the time, didn't we?
We did.
And it was I was saying before, I think it was worth the gamble going for it.
But who?
We said at the time, Watkins, and I know he was like, he was having.
But that was never on the table.
Well, it was, but not for a reasonable amount of money.
I think, yeah, that's obviously hindsight and a bit more, but I think the moment that Duran left, it was pulled up from the table.
So
it was never going to happen, and that's the problem. Unless you're going to throw obscene money early doors, it was never going to happen, and no one is paying obscene money for Watkins.
Oh, but, you know... I'm not saying that this would have happened, but would it have been worth every penny if he got you to the Champions League final?
I don't think Watkins is the answer to do that.
I don't think he would have got us to the final.
There's a reason he hasn't been playing for Villa, or you know, he was knocked out, lost place in the Villa team, and they were willing to sell him.
And he's had injury issues this season, and like I said last week, let's not shy around. He's had one good season, Ollie Watkins. That's it. One good season.
And if you watch him, he's a very selfish striker, and he's he misses a lot of shots. No, he doesn't, but he does score. He scores a decent amount of goals, but he takes a lot of shots.
He takes a lot of shots, and he has missed a few, but I feel like a couple of Arsenal that has the
Get more chances.
I'm saying. That's what I think, and that's what makes his conversion rate will be a bit different. I just feel like he's, at the time as well, especially January, I feel like he was obviously their player. I know they were the thing they're selling because of the price of it, but I just felt like he's good enough for Arsenal. I think he's good enough for Arsenal, and he'd be that striker that you, at least, as Mitchell said, he could have got you to the final.
But the problem with
balls that come in that box, Clive,
The problem with that is, and this is the ruthlessness of football, is you're then stuck with him for what? 3 years?
I mean,
and not being able to get a striker that would probably do you 7 years.
I don't think Arteta's like that.
Arteta is ruthless.
Look what he did with your goal. That's what I'm saying. Well, that's what I'm getting at. Sorry. What he did with your goalkeeper and just got Raya in out of nowhere. Yeah. You had a good season the season before and was like, fuck it, we're getting Raya in. And you just dropped, I can't remember his name.
Arteta, Ramsdale. Arteta is like that, but it's not just Arteta. And that's what people need to remember. If Arteta could go and sign a striker in January, he would have. If the board said to him, yeah, go and spend 100 million on whoever you want, whoever you can get, Arteta would have done it. Because he said it in interviews. Yeah, of course we want another striker. And that's where Lee's talking about Edu not doing his job maybe properly before that. And maybe we're struggling with PSR as well as everyone else is. We don't particularly make money on selling players very often.
I also think the reality is there just aren't that many top-tier quality strikers that are available paying 150 million.
We'll go and sign Harry Kane in the summer for 60 million.
He won't go to Arsenal anyway.
Let's not say that too definitively, Luke. He'll not go to Arsenal. I'll lay down a BFC on that, mate.
We know this, yeah?
Go to Arsenal. So for our first episode next season, if we do a next season, we're going to do webcams. If Harry Kane's an Arsenal player...
Next season?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You've got to wear a Harry Kane Arsenal shirt.
I'll agree to that.
There we go, boys.
I'll agree to that. Wow. Because he's not going to be at Arsenal next season.
I mean, I can't see it happening personally, but what you should have said, Clive, is if he joins Arsenal, but he could join as like a coach or something. don't be specific.
But yeah, we could talk about who we didn't sign for as long as the cows come home, couldn't we? It's done. The season's over.
So what now then, Clive? So we're looking
this season nothing. But
no. Ignore the season now. So now we're looking at
Arteta's last season next season.
Okay, well, possibly. We're looking at the summer. You're looking at the transfer window.
Yep.
You're looking. Let's say you've got 200 million to spend.
Yep. Well, we've done 40 of that on more than
Zubimendi.
That.
Zubimendi.
Have you signed someone? Have you?
It's an agreement.
Yeah, apparently so. So first of all, we're getting rid of some players. The likes of Trossard is probably on his way out. Zinchenko,
Saka, Real Madrid,
KT. Saka's just about to sign a new deal, mate.
I feel sorry for him.
We need a backup goalkeeper because we've got Neto on loan at the moment. So we need a goalkeeper in.
Haven't you signed Espanyol? Isn't there was rumours that you signed Espanyol's? Espanyol's goalkeeper, whatever his name is.
Yeah, apparently so. But again, until we see a shirt being held up, the next signing is a striker, be it Cesco or Gukeres or whatever his name is.
Buy both for about 130 million.
Apparently so. But we also need a left winger. We need someone that will challenge Martinelli for his spot on a permanent basis. And that
who did I see you linked with?
Nico Williams Jr.
No, there was another one, a bit cheaper.
Guy. And then I don't know who, but a backup centre half, another backup centre back.
Well,
could I introduce you someone in Kicks Cats?
Go on. Tell me more. Is he French?
He's French.
We like French.
Yeah. He's won the Champions League.
Has he ever played for Chelsea?
Yes.
Oh, boys.
You do like an ex-Chelsea player.
He's doing the reverse William Gallas.
But yeah, I think I'm just going to have to shout to Alexa because she's making a noise. 2 seconds. Talking amongst yourselves.
So Arsenal get all their players that they want. Where do you reckon they're finishing? Sixth?
I personally can see Arsenal winning the league.
Next season?
Yeah, if they sign right, I think they're three or four signings away from winning the league.
The one thing that people don't talk about with Arsenal as well, because we're not scoring many goals, that's the highlight, but our defensive unit, even without Gabriel, we've conceded the least goals in the Premier League this season. We are so well organised and so tidy. It is just those games where we need the clinical finish. Those are the points that we drop. And let me say it again, keeping fucking 11 men on a fucking football pitch. if we could do those two things, yeah, I don't think we're not going to get as many red cards as we did this season, next season.
Famous last words.
So we're not. It can't happen. So, I can't see it being as bad as, don't get me wrong, City might improve.
Yeah, I guess what I'm saying, I can't see City being as poor as they were this season, next season, and they're still finishing top four.
But
Newcastle are going to get stronger. Villa are going to get stronger. Forest seem to be getting stronger.
Well, both Newcastle and Villa are struggling with PSR. So, they might sell some quality and slightly have downgrades or whatnot.
I'll tell you what would be a great signing for Arsenal. Sorry, Clive. Anthony Gordon from Newcastle.
Yeah.
Talking of left wing.
Left wingers, yeah. I think he'd fit in.
But that's the thing now, though. But he wouldn't go from Newcastle to Arsenal, would he? It's not a step up. It's a sideways.
He's not Cole Palmer, mate. He's not playing.
I think I agree with that, Mitchell. I mean, the way Newcastle are improving in the last few years, it sort of is. And I mean, they could finish above Arsenal. So you would probably say that, yeah, it'd be a step down.
Oh.
And
Spurs fan who hates Arsenal. Wow, what a shock.
Shall we move on to man versus AI before Luke says something else?
Oh, I was going to say, I just love your fans, mate. I love watching the AFTV after you get beat.
They're not real Arsenal fans. Let's just say that. Right, so man versus AI. The noise, Mitchell. Man versus AI. Lovely, lovely. Right, so last fixtures. AI predicted. That's the next fixture.
Whoa.
It predicted Tottenham 1, Palace 1, 0 points. Newcastle 2, Chelsea. What is that to happen? Newcastle 2, Chelsea 1, got 1 point. Liverpool 2, Arsenal 1, got 0 points. Manchester United 1, West Ham 1. So AI got 1 point.
Wow, that's got to be the lowest this season.
No, it got zero the week before.
Oh!
Opened the doors for us. It's opened the doors. Bob predicted a 1-1 draw. Got 0 points. Clive predicted a 1-1 draw. Got 1 point. Mitchell predicted a 2-2 draw. 0 points. Luke, of course, I predicted a 2-1 win.
Yeah.
0 points.
Consistent.
You are consistent. At least there's that. So, AI is sitting on 90 points. Humans, 77 points.
Yeah.
Bob is on 19. Oh, I've done that wrong. Luke is on 10. That, I mean... doesn't really matter, does it?
I don't think we were going to say anything. I thought he was keeping it a secret. Bob was very, very strong about that. He's going to be very upset with you.
No, we gave it away last week anyway. So Luke 10, Bob 19, Clive 22, Mitchell 26.
Oof.
So I just need you to not get the right prediction. I just need to get 0 points the next 2 weeks and me to get.
And you need to hit
points.
Yeah.
So, Lee. On your debut, we're going to take your score because you can be within 7 points of Luke if you get it right. So, West Ham at home to Forest. What are you saying?
Oh, I don't want to get our hopes up after beating Man United away from home. And we're not very good at home anyway. I think... I'm a 3-1 Forest.
1-3. Cool. I will
let you know. I hope it's the reverse.
I will let you know what Bob has said. I'm fairly sure he went 3-1 Forest. He went 2-1 Forest.
Oh, that's great minds. Pessimistic, yeah. West Ham fans.
there were Friday night games. You've got Chelsea versus United. Mitchell, what are you saying?
I'm going to go Chelsea 1-0.
1-0 Chelsea.
Ooh.
Cole Palmer.
You know what? Or Madueke.
You don't think Fernandez is going to score against you?
I don't want to say.
Villa at home to Tottenham. Luke.
Well, I'll go with 1-1.
I predicted a draw, boys.
I thought you said you were going to beat Villa.
No, I said we're going to draw, but I said I might. Predict we'd beat. I feel like we'd beat him, but we'll go with a draw.
You reckon before the final?
Mate, Tottenham do crazy shit. we might have this conversation next week or when the next podcast is. Yeah, but Spurs do weird shit. So we'll just see what happens. We could get smashed, to be fair, but we could also draw.
I'm going to go. We like tools at the moment. All right. So let's talk amongst yourselves while I get it generated by the AI.
The generation for the nation.
Some great chatter.
Sorry.
Going, boys.
I feel like I talk too much, so I thought I'd let Luke say something stupid for once.
Oh dear.
Right, predictions are in. Aston Villa versus Tottenham. AI has predicted 2-0 Villa win.
Fuck you, AI.
Aston Villa in strong form, aiming for a top four finish, while Tottenham have struggled recently and may prioritise up and coming Europa League final. Villa's home advantage and momentum make them favourites for this match. I don't think you can argue that. I think that makes sense.
No, no, I think you can argue that. I think it's neutral.
Chelsea versus Manchester United. Prediction. 2-0 Chelsea win. Chelsea are pushing for Champions League qualifications and have a strong home record in 2025. Manchester United focusing on the upcoming Europa League final are expected to field a rotated squad, which could give Chelsea the upper hand.
Yeah, we just got to score.
West Ham versus Nottingham Forest. Prediction. 1-1 draw. Both teams, oof, similar win probabilities, with West Ham at 38.1% and Forest at 36.1%. Given the stakes for Forest and West Ham's recent performance, a draw is a likely outcome.
Jesus.
Wow.
Arsenal versus Newcastle. Prediction. 1-1 draw. Arsenal have struggled in recent matches while Newcastle are in strong form and could overtake Arsenal in standings with a win. A draw is a plausible result given both teams' current trajectories. Bish, bash, bosh, dump.
That's going to be a tasty game, that is.
Hopefully not. Hopefully Bruno Guimaraes fucking breaks his face.
Breaks his face.
What day is it, Clive? The game?
That game
Sunday.
Is Sunday, yeah. Any particular reason why?
I might watch it.
Oh. There you go.
Grace it with his presence.
Well, if I put a bet on Arsenal, it's more than likely Newcastle going to win because I always lose.
I mean, the answer to that would be sure you'd bet on Arsenal to win every single game.
Well, surely I don't earn enough money.
It doesn't need to be a big bet, does it?
Oh, no, small bets. It's irrelevant. It's the, like the £10 to £20 up. That's where I lose.
That's where the
universe punishes me, Clive. I shit you not. Oh, mate. It could be a sure win. We could be like 4-0 up on the 80th minute. And I put a bet on, just put a bet on there for Spurs to win at £10. It'll be 4-4. That's just the way it is.
And on that beautiful note, I'm going to end it. I'm going to give Lee the last words. What are you saying, Lee?
Auf Wiedersehen.